verse recommendations or advice for battling mental and spiritual warfare?
One of my go-to verses is one of the verses of the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And I use that verse this way: when I am tempted, no matter what the temptation is, I kind of draw you a line in the sheet of paper, pros and cons. On one side, you've got the cons, and then on the other side, you've got your pro. You weigh this thing out, counting the cost. I'm not suggesting this is what you actually do when you're tempted. You flee temptation. But I want you to see that there are verses that are given to us that are blessed promises. And that's how you fight these temptations. It's by the offering of something better. Is it Thomas Chalmers who wrote the essay about the expulsive power of a greater affection? And that's what I'm talking about. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I do believe that has a future reference, but I believe it means now too. And I can indulge my flesh and have a pleasure in sin for a season, but it will cost me something. The pleasure of experiencing God in the conscious awareness of His presence. I can say, I can indulge this now, but tomorrow morning when I get alone in my closet of prayer, the Spirit will be quenched because of this, and I don't want to miss seeing Jesus. So this thing is not worth the price. That's a verse that I go to and that God has used in my life so much. Yeah, you can indulge the flesh and justification. Oh, We can even abuse that, can't we? But we have to have something even greater, a greater potential in order to fight sin. And that is the promises of God. Namely, Him Himself.
And I think of Edward Payson, Praying Payson, Portland, Maine. He said in his biographical account when he was dying, he said his leg, he felt pain in his leg that was so severe, of course, in those days, to have his leg amputated. He said he didn't know what that would feel like, but if he thought he was going to live any longer than what he was, he would have that leg sawn off. And he said as God was taking away his health, taking away his comfort, taking away, just taking one thing after another away, he said, God filled that, whatever was being taken away, God filled it so many fold. He said he came to realize that God was all sufficient, and the more God took away, the more filled with the Lord he became. And he said, if only I would have been convinced of this earlier on in my life, I would have spared myself so much grief. And I think that's one of the big things. We fall prey to the lies that other things are better, other things will satisfy, or it's that momentary indulgence is gonna be worthwhile. And if we just could be convinced of that, I'm convinced of the same thing, brother. That promise in the Beatitude is for now as well. And oh, aren't we fools sometimes? We exchange what we might have, and we so cheaply trade it.
I think too many times as believers, we stay on the defensive, and we're like a prize fighter in the corner. We're back there in the corner, and we're getting pummeled, and we can't be on the defensive only. In Ephesians 6, what did Paul tell us? Take unto yourselves the whole armor of God, that you might be able to quench. So we have responsibility in this. And I think Michael was exactly right. The promises of God, if we equip ourselves with them, the purity on moral or sexual temptation, other promises about humility, if pride is your besetting sin, learn, memorize promises, these exceeding great and precious promises, they are your tools. to battle the mental warfare. Because isn't a lot of spiritual warfare, it's the battle of the mind, isn't it? Almost always. You can't be on the defensive or be passive. Arm yourselves with the promises of God and use them in prayer when the battle is raging. Be on the offensive, because Christ will make us more than conquerors.
So Romans 6:11 says that we need to reckon ourselves. What does it say? Anybody know it right off? What are we supposed to consider ourselves? Dead to sin and alive to God. So, Christian, every Christian in here, you are dead to sin, right? Say it. I am dead to sin. You see, just being convinced of that. I am. It's those kind of promises. You have to live on those. God tells me, as a Christian, I am dead to sin. And then, what, 2-3 verses, it no longer has dominion over me? And I know we feel the battle. This is not like we sit back and we're passive. There's actually, we putting to death the deeds of the body. But I am dead to sin. And isn't it amazing? It's a mindset in verse 11, before you get to verse 12, where you're actually resisting sin from reigning. But you've got to think right. You've got to embrace the promise right if you're going to be victorious in the battle.